The oldest example of what we know as Latin dates from the 7th century BC. From that time to the reign of the Caesars, 600 years later, Latin became as close to a universal language as the world had known. Government, commerce, literature, all the prized exports of the West's greatest empire were conducted in Latin. The ancient Greeks at Delphi believed they had the world's omphalos, or belly button, but the Romans had the world's tongue. Now, Latin is not spoken on any street corners today. It's called a dead language and consigned mainly to the classroom. But no language is dead in the mind of our classics commentator, Elaine Fantham, who joins us now from the studios of the CBC in Toronto. Elaine, thanks very much for being with us.
Hello, Scott. Yes, today's motto is Latin alive.
Well, it amazes me all these years we've been at the same old street corner doing business and we haven't really talked about Latin. Why do you believe it's not spoken anymore?
Before it stopped being spoken, or shall we say, no, it stopped being spoken before it stopped being used actively. Because, say, 400 years ago, all the various European theologians and philosophers and scholars were using Latin to communicate with each other, having learned it when they learned to read and write in school. Erasmus, for instance, learned to read and write in Latin rather than learning to read and write in Dutch, which was his language. Mm-hmm. And he also learned how to use a lively Latin, the kind that you ask for a cup of coffee or make love with, from Terence's comedies. And then even in the 18th century, the scientists who really needed to disseminate their experiments internationally were using Latin. But I will be honest, at this point, I think they weren't speaking it. They wrote it beautifully. It was, mm-hmm. it was correct, but they weren't speaking it.
For many years, I suppose, well into the 20th century, Latin was kept alive in the Mass of the Roman Catholic Church. And, of course, Vatican II changed that to the vernacular Mass. That seemed to be, in a sense, the last major source of popularization, wasn't it?
Well, you know, I'm not so sure that it really worked as popularization. I think for a great many people in the Catholic Church, what the priest was saying up at the altar was not anything they understood mm-hmm. At all.
To your knowledge, Elaine, outside of a classroom, is Latin spoken aloud anywhere in the world today?
Well, if you were in Finland, you could listen to the news in Latin every day.
Well, Finnish news? Is this just someone doing this for
this?
This
is a Finnish university which has a regular service, provides news in Latin. Now, I was expecting you to say, fat lot of good, that would do me, at which point I could have retorted
yes.
that it was a damn sight easier than listening to it in Finnish. But you didn't play the game, so...
No, I think you set up the joke and delivered it beautifully. That's all right. I wouldn't want to... Elaine, what does a working knowledge of Latin put into our minds, our souls, if you please, as far as you're concerned?
Oh, the capacity for logical argument. If you can follow Latin, then that means that you are understanding the logic of what you're saying, the difference between the subject and the predicate of your sentence and this kind of thing. Of course, I wouldn't sell Latin for its improving one's argumentative powers because that's not sexy. Mm-hmm. There's plenty that's sexy, and if you learn enough Latin, you can read it. And, of course, people have become very much aware of what we call the sort of louche side of Roman life. I think that's what comes into people's minds first.
Oh, you mean they can read the original text of something that's mildly lascivious?
Oh, more than mildly, yes. There is a whole collection of poems to the god Priapus praising him for his well-hung virility and his deeds of achievement.
I'm sorry. Well, Elaine, I think you've done more for the cause of Latin education in this short interview than has been accomplished
by you. You have to know quite a lot of Latin before you can appreciate some of the penetrating remarks in those poems.
Well, but you've certainly given thousands of students the incentive, Elaine. Thank you. Well, Elaine Fantham, our classics commentator, is also Professor Emerita of Classics at Princeton University. I don't know how to say it. It's a pleasure in Latin, but it is.
Placet mihi multum, perhaps. That might do. Thank you, Scott, and for me, always, it's a pleasure.